poribelaje. Udita tapana hoile ashta dinagelo boli hoi bibyashta tabe keno ebe alasha hoi tabe hidoya raje Jibana anita janaha sha tahina nabidha vipada bhar namashraya kori jatane tumi takaha apana pakaje Jivera kalyana sadhana kam jagate ashiye madhura nam avidya timira tapana rupe hridga gane viraje Krishna nam shudha koriya pan jurao bhakati vinoda pran nama bina kichu nahi ko aro choda bhuvana majhe Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Vishnupad Paramahansa Privrajak Charyasta Tatasa Shri Srimad, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Shri Nuraman Reti Dham Ki Jai. Samaveta Bhaktivrinda Ki Jai. Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shishi, Guru, and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. What's the verse today?
106. Okay, got it. Chapter 23, Life's Ultimate Goal.
Text 106 and 107. Adveshta sarva bhutanam. It's, it's chapter 23? 23? Okay. Then it's not Kajiboli, is it? Madhya 23, 106 and 107? Huh? I have Madhya Lila chapter 23. Technical difficulties. Actually, these are two verses from Bhagavad Gita chapter 12, 13, and 14. Why don't I just, let's chant the words word for word first. Adveshta, not envious or jealous. Sarva bhutanam, to all living entities, in all parts of the world. Maitraha, friendly. Karunaha, compassionate. Eva, certainly. Cha, and nirmamaha, with no sense of proprietorship. Nirahankaraha, without pride, without considering oneself a great preacher. Samadukha sukha, equal in distress and happiness. Peaceful. Shami, tolerant of offenses created by others. Santushtaha, satisfied. Satatam, continuously. Yogi, engaged in bhakti yoga. Yata atma, having controlled the senses and mind. Dridhanishchayaha, having firm confidence and determination. Mayi, unto me. Arpita, dedicated. Manaha buddhihi, mind and intelligence. Yaha, who? Mat paktaha, my devotee. Saha, that person. May, unto me. Priyaha, dear. It's still not up there, huh? Okay. Let's see if we can just follow along with the chanting. Adveshta sarva bhutanam. Maitra karuna eva cha. Nirmamo nirahankaraha. Samadukha sukhakshami. Santushtak satatang yogi. Yatatma dhritanishchayaha. Mayarpita mano buddhir. Yomad bhakta same priyaha. Bolo. Adveshta sarva bhutanam. Maitra karuna eva cha. Nirmamo nirahankara.
samadukha sukakshami santushta satatang yogi yayatma dhimishtha mayarpita manobudhir yome bhakta sume priyaha Adveshta sarva bhutanam maitra karuna evacha nirmamo nirahankaraha samadukha sukakshami santushta satatang yogi Jatatma dridhanishchayaha mayarpita mano buddhir yomad bhaktah same priyaha. Ladies. Adveshta sarva bhutanam maitra karuna evacha Nirmamo nirahankaraha samadukha sukakshami santushta satatang yogi yatatma dridhanishchaya mayarpita mano buddhir Yomad bhaktak same priyaha Adveshta sarva bhutanam Maitra karuna evacha Nirmamo nirahankaraha Samadukha sukakshami
I'm all right.
Santushta satatang yogi jatatma dridhanishchaya mayarpita mano buddhir yomad bhaktak same priyaha.
Translation. One who is not envious but is a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is always satisfied, forgiving, and self-controlled, who is engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence dedicated to me, such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. Please repeat. One who is not envious, but is a kind friend to all living entities. Who does not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego. Who is equal in both happiness and distress. Who is always satisfied, forgiving, and self-controlled, and who is engaged in devotional service with determination. His mind and intelligence dedicated to me. Such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One should not be jealous of members of other castes or nations. It is not that only Indians or Brahmanas can become Vaishnavas. Anyone can become a Vaishnava. Therefore, one should recognize that the bhakti cult must be spread all over the world. That is real adveshta, right? Non-enviousness. Moreover, the word maitra, friendly, indicates that one who is able to preach the bhakti cult all over the world should be equally friendly to everyone. These two and the following six verses were spoken by Sri Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 12, verses 13 through 20. Om Jnana Timrandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miditang Yena Tasmai Shri Gurive Namaha
Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtang Stapitang Yena Putale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Sri Rupang Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Bhatang Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Bhatangscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Brindabaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Ebacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here we are, Lord Chaitanya is instructing Sanatana Goswami. In this chapter, he's instructed him already on all these, detailed things about all the bhavas and the rasas and the support and the stimuli and the different stages of viparlamba and all these details. And after all these elevated instructions, now he's going on to describe the qualities of, or the qualifications, Srila Prabhupada says, of the devotees that make them very dear to Krishna. So this is very important. It's not some preliminary instruction or something. This is what the actual qualifications of those situated in transcendence, free from the modes of nature, actually have these qualifications. And actually, they're also qualifications or qualities of Lord Krishna. So we see some of these qualifications. Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing in this purport how this devotional, this movement of Lord Chaitanya is to be spread all over the world, the Sankirtan movement. This was desired by our previous acharyas. Lord Chaitanya actually predicted that in every town and village his name would be chanted. And this movement is this great movement, not just Hinduism or something, although it's based on the Vedas, it's in the Vedas, the oldest of all, but in new dress. But it leads to life's ultimate goal, which is this pure prema bhakti, in which devotees develop all these wonderful qualities. So Krishna says, he's in the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, verse 29, Krishna says he's not envious of anyone and no one's especially dear to him, that he's neutral. But then he expresses that neutrality by showing affection to his devotees, and he neglects those who want to ignore him and forget him, or he fights against those who want to fight with him. So that's how his neutrality is expressed. So the devotees are actually especially dear to Lord Krishna, and they have these wonderful qualities. We hear about it all the time. Titikshava karunika nivaira sarvadehinam. They're not, they don't have any enemies. Other people may act inimically toward them, but they know, I'm not this body. They're not defensive of their body. They're not envious. Envy, somehow in our false ego, we're so foolish that we want to be the supreme enjoyer. Like, how can we be the supreme enjoyer? And we get to feel distress when we think someone else is more qualified or able to enjoy better than we are. So this is so foolish. But a devotee who sees things clearly, they're not envious. They're always satisfied in devotional service. Therefore, they're tolerant because they don't identify with the material body when the material body is in some distress. They're not lamenting. And when the material body is in some happiness, they're not elated. But they're steadily in bliss, thinking of Krishna, engaging their mind in Krishna.
And they're forgiving. They see that other people are just conditioned souls, and they're being moved by the material energy in different ways. And so the devotee can really be the kind friend. Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing this purport, that what is real kindness is being able to properly preach this Vaishnava cult and all over the world. Srila Prabhupada succeeded in doing this marvelously in the way that no other acharya had previously done. He had these special qualities and these abilities to adjust things properly to preach among different people in different countries because he had genuine realization of Krishna consciousness. Realization means your ability to explain things and teach things properly according to the audience in the time, place, and circumstance. So these qualities, they're described. For example, in the beginning of chapter 16 in the Bhagavad Gita, the qualities of the divine nature are there described in verses 1 through 3. And they're described in so many places that we have to have these qualities. And here, in chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is describing devotional service, and he says that one should always be engaged one's full intelligence and mind in my devotional service. But if you can't do that, then you know, practice the regulative principles. If you can't do that, then work for me, and so forth. And then in this chapter, devotional service, he ends up describing all these qualities that the pure devotees have that make them dear to him. And in the purport of verse 19, which is just next to last verse, Srila Prabhupada writes, "We may find some repetition in the descriptions of the qualifications of a devotee, but this is just to give an illustration of the fact that a devotee must acquire all these qualifications. Without good qualifications, one cannot be a pure devotee. One who is not a devotee has no good qualifications. One who wants to be recognized as a devotee should develop the good qualifications. Of course, he does not extraneously endeavor to acquire these qualifications, but engagement in Krishna consciousness and devotional service automatically helps him develop them." So what does it mean that we don't extraneously endeavor? To get the real qualifications fully, we get them by pure devotional service. For example, attachment to Krishna is just, it's not something separate from detachment from material world. It's just that as you become attached to Krishna, you automatically become detached. Vasudeve Bhagavati, what is it, Srimad Bhagavatam 1:26? Bhakti yoga prayojitaha janayat yashu vairagyam jnanam cha yadahai tukam. So one automatically gets knowledge and detachment from which these good qualities spring by being attached to Krishna. Being attached to Krishna is one and the same with having these good qualities, really. And if you don't have all these good qualities, then you're not attached to Krishna. In the chapter 29 of the third canto, Lord Kapiladev explains that devotional service, there's 9 processes of devotional service. And each of these processes can be done in goodness, passion, or by one afflicted with goodness, passion, or ignorance, and then transcendentally, and then in each stage, like in hearing, in ignorance, there's goodness, ignorance, passion, ignorance, and ignorant ignorance. So there's 91, 3 × 3 × 9. As 81, I mean, of these different categories. So, you know, we can say that sometimes devotees in our movement don't automatically have all of these good qualities because we're beginners, a lot of us, speaking for myself. And I maybe have some still affected by mode of ignorance or mode of passion. In Lord Kapiladev explains, well, actually, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that Vishwanath Chakravarti explains that a devotee who's still afflicted by the mode of ignorance, and they're angry and conceited and harsh with others and things like that. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, we can respect those devotees because they've dedicated themselves to Krishna consciousness as the goal of life, but we should avoid their association. They're not congenial association. So the very, very advanced devotees have all these qualities very visibly, very completely. We could see those qualities in Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter, and I wanted to quote this. I love this letter. Because it's somewhat long, I've excerpted only parts of it. But it's in the Science of Self-Realization, and I encourage everyone to read the letter to Lynn Ludwig and her letter first to Prabhupada. But she apparently met some devotees out on Sankirtan in some parking lot or somewhere in California, and she found that they weren't very loving from the standpoint of, you know, material affection, which is affection for the body and affection for sense enjoyment, trying to put people in material happiness and keep them away from material distress. So she wrote to Srila Prabhupada and complained, you know, that your little, I forget what she said, your little rays of heaven or something like that are not really being properly trained. So Prabhupada wrote her on the dated 30th April 1973, "My dear Lynn Ludwig, please accept my blessings. I beg to acknowledge receipt of your letter from California dated November 27, 1972, and I have noted the contents carefully. Although due to extensively traveling and preaching tour in India, I have not yet got the opportunity to reply you at length until now. Your complaint is that you have met two of my young disciples in California, and they appear to you as having, quote, a very negative outlook towards the people they meet. Of course, I do not know the case, what are the circumstances, but kindly forgive my beloved disciples any unkindness or indiscretions on their part. After all, to give up one's life completely for serving the Lord is not so easy thing. And Maya, or the illusory material energy, she tries especially hard to get back and entrap those who have left her service to become devotees. So sometimes in the neophyte stage of devotional service, in order to withstand the attack of Maya and remain strong under all conditions of temptation, young or inexperienced devotees will adopt an attitude against those things or persons possibly harmful, threatening to their tender devotional creeper. They may even overindulge in such feelings just to protect themselves, and thus they will appear to some non-devotees who are perhaps themselves still very enamored by the material energy of Maya as being negative or pessimistic. But actual fact is that this material world is a miserable, negative place, full of danger at every step. Dukhalayam ashashvatam, temporary abode of death, birth, disease, and old age, home of suffering and pain only. To come to that platform of understanding things as they are, that is not a very common thing, and therefore such persons who attain it, they are described as great souls. Mamu Petya Punar Janma Dukhalayama Shashvatam Napnuvanti Mahatmanaha Sangsidhim Padamangati Kataha. This verse is spoken by Krishna, or God himself, in Bhagavad Gita. So who can be more final authority? That means that anyone who has understood that the material worlds are places of misery and temporariness, dukhalayam ashashvatam, they never return here again because they are mahatmanaha, the great souls. Krishna keeps them with him. Having qualified themselves to escape this nasty place by becoming his pure devotees. So the point is that to make advancement in spiritual life, everything material, unless it is utilized to serve and please Krishna, must be viewed with a pessimistic eye. We are not very much hopeful for any lasting pleasure or satisfaction for our deepest cravings within this realm of gross matter. You referred to the word love several times in your letter, but actual fact is there is no love in the material world. That is false propaganda. What they call love here is lust only, desire for personal sense gratification. Kama esha, krodha esha, rajaguna, samudbhavaha, mahasano, mahapapma, vidyenam, iyavairinam. Krishna tells Arjuna, his disciple, that, quote, it is lust only which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. In the Vedic language, their word for materialistic love, as we call it at present day, kama, lust for material desire, not love. The word for love, actually love we find in Vedas, is prema, meaning one's love of God only. Outside God, there is no possibility of loving. Rather, it is lusty desire, the whole range of human activities, whatever and whenever. So long within this atmosphere of matter, the every activity of the human being or any living entity is based upon or given impetus and thus polluted by the attraction between male and female sex desire. For that sex life, the whole universe is spinning round and suffering. That is the harsh truth. So-called love here means you gratify my senses, I'll gratify your senses. And as soon as that gratification stops, immediately there is divorce, separation, quarrel, hatred. So many things there are going on under this false conception of love. Actual love means love of God, Krishna. So then I've skipped some for shortening it. The advanced devotee is the friend of everyone, yoga yukto vishuddhatma, purified soul engaged in loving devotional service to Krishna, sarva-bhutatma bhutatma. He is dear to everyone and everyone is dear to him. And in another place, Krishna claims that yo mad bhakta same priyaha. That's these verses from the 12th chapter of Gita. That his devotees, who is very dear to him, adveshta sarva-bhutanam maitra karuna evacha, is not envious, but is kind and friend to all living entities. The devotee is supposed to be, furthermore, equal to everyone. Panditak samadarshinaha, Bhagavad Gita 5:18. Never discriminating. This one good, this one bad. No. So these are the descriptions of more advanced stages of Krishna consciousness devotees. One has got mature knowledge by development, and at present many of our students are young boys. They're learning gradually, and the process is so effective, certain, and authorized that if they stick to it, they will come to the right point, as you say, of loving. But that love is not material. That is our point. So it may not be judged on this false sentimental platform of ordinary mundane dealings. So to say they are not loving, that may be true from the materialist's point of view. They have given up affection for family, friends, wife, country, race, like that, all based upon the bodily concept of life or flickering sense gratification. They have become little detached from Maya's love or lust, and they want Krishna's love or endless, full, rewarding love. But they have not yet developed to that point, that's all, and we cannot expect that all of a sudden, being addicted to so many bad habits, your countrymen will give up eating flesh, taking intoxication, sex life, and so many other nasty things, and become overnight great self-realized souls. That is not possible. That is utopian. So I've left out the rest of the letter. But we see this point that to have, sometimes we see non-devotees, they seem to be kind and friendly and polite and polished and refined, and they seem to have some good qualities. But the verdict of Hanuman is, yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati kinchana sarvayar gunas tatra samasate suraha harav abhaktasya kuto mahadgunan manorate nasati daivato bahi, that the devotees of the Lord have all the good qualities of the demigods that automatically appear in them, but those who are not devotees, they can't have any good qualities, he says. And so what does that mean, they can't have any good qualities? Well, we know there are materialistic people that have seemingly very good qualities, but they're, as Srila Prabhupada is explaining, those good qualities are extraneously developed. They're on the basis of sense gratification, lust, that we should, they have this idea, the project in the material world is to make this material world a happier place where we can be satisfied, and you know, philanthropists want to resolve all the suffering in the material world by, you know, curing diseases and curing poverty and taking care of the environment. These are good things. Maintenance is the mode of goodness, right? But at the same time, a devotee has to understand that this is this world is the place for suffering. It's the place where Krishna gives people who want to try to enjoy separately from him, and therefore they don't have the bhakti, they don't have the good qualities, they don't have the real bliss, happiness, constant satisfaction, steadiness of the pure devotees. And the pure devotees don't feel any envy or unkindness to anyone because they're actually very happy themselves, and they're not disturbed when someone else seems happy. On the other hand, they're disturbed when people are suffering. They're karuna. They have compassion, but real compassion. They know how to actually help people stop suffering. It's not just to, you know, like there's this, the saying, it's a meat eater's saying. They say, you know, give a man a fish and he can eat one day, but teach him how to fish and he can eat all his life. But adapting that saying, the point is, you can just try to help someone by giving them material comforts, emoluments of the body, but that will end up, if they don't have the pious activities, they're not going to enjoy material happiness. But if they have Krishna consciousness, they'll come out of these three modes of material nature and develop these full qualities of transcendental people. In the 11th chapter, one of the nine yogendras, I think Karabhajana Muni says, Bhaktik Pureshan Bhavo Raktir Anyatra Chaisha Trika Eka Kalaha. What's the next part of these three things? Prapadyamanasya Yatashnitaksyu Tushti Pushti Kshud Apayo Nagasam. That just like when a person is eating, Srila Prabhupada says, and on chanting, he says, you don't have to tell a hungry man how he's being satisfied when he has a good meal. So just like when a person is eating a nice, palatable, healthy meal, they enjoy pleasure and they enjoy nourishment and they and their hunger is also abated and they don't have any hunger anymore. So similarly, one who's on the path of surrendering to Krishna, they automatically get bhakti. They get realization of Krishna's absolute truth of Krishna, and they get bhakti pureshana bhava virakti ranyatra, and they get detachment from material sense enjoyment automatically, or it's, you know, and the acharyas comment that unlike eating a material meal, when you get full, you don't want to eat anymore, that in this Krishna consciousness, we want more and more and more. It's never, we're never satiated by this Krishna consciousness. What do the sages say? We never get tired of hearing your transcendental. They tell Sutta Goswami, we never, swadhu, swadhu, pade, pade. At every step, we've been very much enjoying it. So these are the process of surrendering to Krishna and actually tasting bhakti and chanting Hare Krishna when Krishna's name is dancing on our tongues. Is the process for developing all these qualities. Also, automatically they develop while we're actually experiencing happiness and becoming free. We're going, Krishna says, we don't have to live in the material world anymore. Those who realize the miseries of this material world and are no longer attracted to that, they can go live with him eternally in the spiritual world. They don't take birth again. So, once upon a time, the sages, sons of Lord Brahma, Bhrigu Muni and others, were discussing who is really the absolute, the supreme, Brahma, Vishnu, or Shiva. This is described in the 89th, I'm sorry, it only goes to 90 chapters of the 10th canto. So in the 89th chapter of the 10th canto, they were discussing who's the supreme. So they elected Bhrigu Muni to go test. And Bhrigu Muni, the son of Lord Brahma, he went to Satyaloka, Brahmaloka, and he went in to see his father, but he didn't pay obeisances, which, you know, in Vedic society, when you go see your father, you pay obeisances. But he didn't pay his obeisances, and he didn't offer prayers. And this is Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma became angry. But because of his knowledge, he was able to remember, this is my son, I shouldn't retaliate, I shouldn't be angry. At first he was angry, he wanted to hurt Bhrigu Muni. Of course, Lord Brahma, you know, he's the founder of our Sampradaya, he's a pure devotee, but because of his service in creating the material world, he has to accept some of the motive passion. So he became angry at first, but he was able to quiet it down. So then Bhrigu Muni went to see Lord Shiva in Mount Kailash. And Lord Shiva's his brother. And so when Lord Shiva saw him, he immediately joyfully came to embrace and welcome his brother, Bhrigu Muni. But Bhrigu Muni, not only he didn't properly receive Lord Shiva, but he insulted him and said, you're deviant and you're engaged in abominable activities. But it recalls to me Daksha's sacrifice in the fourth canto that's described Bhrigu, Muni, and the Brahmins, the Vaishnava's side of things. They were criticizing Lord Shiva, and the Shaivites, headed by Nandi, the bull, were criticizing. They all became angry at one another, even though they're all actually transcendental personalities, but because of their different duties in the material world, there was some enmity. So Lord Shiva, he became enraged and furious. He was going to kill Bhrigu Muni. He got up ready to destroy him, but Parvati is known as Triguna, Triguni. She has some of all the three modes. She, in her mode of goodness, she was able to pacify him and stop him from attacking Bhrigu Muni. So then Bhrigu Muni went to Vaikuntha, to Krishna's abode, Vishnu's abode. And Vishnu was lying down with his head on the lap of the goddess of fortune. And Bhrigu Muni walked in and kicked him in the chest. All right. His offense to Lord Brahma was, you can have offenses of the mind, the words, and the body. So his offense to Lord Brahma was just in his mind. He didn't offer proper respects. To Lord Shiva, he also offered insulting words. So Lord Vishnu, he actually offended him with his body, kicking him in the chest. He's to be excused because this was a pastime that was arranged by Lord Vishnu anyway. But of course, it's abominable. Who would do that? While he was resting on the lap of the goddess of fortune. But rather than retaliating, Lord Vishnu and the goddess of fortune, they rose to, you know, pacify him. And Lord Vishnu said, oh, your foot is very soft and delicate. I hope that by hitting my hard chest, it wasn't injured. And so from that, he said, you blessed my chest. Now the goddess of fortune will always reside there in his form of this Srivatsa. Now, goddess of fortune, since then, is not very favorably disposed to the brahmanas. Therefore, they're often poor. Austerity is the wealth of brahmanas, not material opulence, and because of this offense. But the quality of forgiveness that was there seen in Krishna, this is the quality the pure devotees also have. And Bhrigu Muni came back to the sages and told them, definitely, Lord Vishnu, he's the absolute supreme personality. We see from this story that these different modes of nature, they're always there with us until we're pure devotees, one who is fully dedicated in devotional service without falling down in any circumstance. It once transcends the three modes of material nature. Mang chayo vyabhichanena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. But as we're afflicted with material nature and as we're beginners on this path, we may sometimes show some unkindness and some callousness toward the suffering of others and so forth. This is not good. This is not the qualities of a Vaishnava. We're expected to act like Vaishnavas. Vaisheshika Prabhu says that the first rule of book distribution is to always leave everyone in a good with a good impression. Not that we come and we... I was in Mayapur in February, and I saw one devotee, kind of a younger Indian devotee, and he was a man with his wife and child were walking, trying to avoid him, and he was trying to sell them a book, and he just kept following them, and they said, no, I don't want it, leave me alone, and he said, no, but this book is important, this is good, so we shouldn't do that. So I stopped him, and I told him, you know, you can't do it that way, you know, you have to learn to stop them, and if they don't stop, you know, let them go. Or what Vaish says is, if the fruit is unripe, don't try to pick it, you know, let it ripen. If they have a good experience with a devotee, they get some sukriti and they think maybe next time they'll think, well, what is in these books? So the boy said, but what can I do if they don't take it? Someone else will take it. You know, your mission is not to make everybody take a book, it's to find the people who are ready to take a book. Actually, so you're out. If we're not out there with the books, the people who are ready to take a book won't get them. So we have to be out there, and we have to be showing the books. But at the same time, we don't have to, you know, force anyone to take a book. So we have to develop these qualities, and in leadership positions also, people have power over the lives of other devotees, especially when devotees live in an ashram, they're in a dependent situation, and the leaders have to be very kind and understanding and caring. The goal, we say, is service leadership. We should recognize that when we're leaders, that we're trying to help everyone advance in Krishna consciousness. It's not always possible to accommodate everybody's desires, but we should do things in such a way that we're not cruel, that we're not neglectful of their sufferings. We're trying to help them, but help them in the right way, help them become devotees, like that. So I have a note here on the thing. It says, Srimad Bhagavatam class ends at 8:45 a.m. and question and answer ends at 9 a.m. So I'll end here and ask for discussion and questions and answers. Panchagoda Prabhu.
So we're supposed to be loving, forgiving, and having all the godly qualities, but sometimes when you're involved with devotees and in management, sometimes people have differences of opinion, and how do you avoid getting angry and disturbed and always be equal-minded and loving and forgiving?
Well, just like Lord Brahma, when you're engaged in management, you have to engage in material energy too, to some extent. So no, you can't always satisfy everybody by fulfilling all their material desires. You have to know what's right and what's wrong and stick with the thing. And even if someone has a different opinion than you, you can point out, you know, I appreciate that you have a different opinion. You may be right and I may be wrong, but this is my position. I'm the manager and I'm
in charge?
Yeah. You have, unless you can change my opinion, I'm sticking with my opinion, you know. You should be willing to listen to people, and you should be sensitive enough to truly listen. You know, Mukunda Maharaj was teaching a class on communication, right? He was the, before Anuttama, he was the minister of propaganda. What do they call it? Public relations, now they call it communications. But I took his class in Vrindavan, and he said that we have to recognize that communication is a two-way street. It's not that we think, oh, I'm just here to give you the absolute truth, and you're not a devotee, so I don't have anything to hear from you. So, you know, and similarly among devotees, of course, we have to respect all devotees, although like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says there are some devotees whose modes are such that we really shouldn't try to take their association. It's not congenial to us. But as a manager, you have to deal with all kinds, right? And sometimes you have to deal with difficult devotees, devotees who have difficulties, and you should try to deal with the difficulties in a compassionate way, but you can't be all things to all people. You know, you have to, for the benefit of the whole project that you're managing, you have to make decisions according to your lights. And but still, remember that you're a servant of Krishna, you're not the body, you're satisfied in your own service, you're not envious. You will, if you're chanting good rounds, you'll have those qualities. And I often tell the story of Giriraj Maharaj told the story that in Bombay there were all kinds of quarrels and difficulties. And then Srila Prabhupada asked them to have 24-hour kirtan, 24-7, like they have in Vrindavan, you know. He was asking them to do that. But they didn't have enough manpower, and they had to build a temple, and they had so many things going on, and they had to get life members and raise money. So eventually, he negotiated with Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said, well, 3 days. You know, finally, well, at least one day, you have 24-hour kirtan. So then he found that whenever people came to him with all their quarrels, he put it off until the day after they had the 24-hour kirtan. And then somehow the quarrels like magically disappeared. Or another devotee was saying how when their devotees were all up against each other and they had different opinions and they were, you know, this one goes or I'll go, you know, and this, the Jayananda in San Francisco would say, well, let's all go out on Harinam. And we went out on Harinam and chanted and wanted to give the mercy of Lord Chaitanya to all the people all over the world, be friends to everyone. And then when they came back to the temple and took a little prasadam, and everyone was like, feeling like, what were we fighting about? We love you. You're our, I mean, who other than the devotees are our friends? Lord Chaitanya told Ramananda Roy, what's the most dangerous thing in the world? To be outside of the association of devotees. So we have to value the association we have of devotees. But leaders have to be leaders. Hopefully they're good leaders. And we have a leadership misconduct office now, I should plug, because I'm the North American director right now. And that is that, you know, if there are complaints, you know, of real deviations, of real misconduct, pastoral abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, you know, sometimes leaders can just grind somebody until they have post-traumatic stress disorder and have to go see therapists the rest of their lives. And, you know, they say power, absolute power corrupts absolutely. So in your position of power, you have to be careful. And devotees are sensitive. You know, they're giving their life to Krishna, they're giving up everything else. And so it's the most dear thing to them, their devotional creeper. And if you trample on that somehow, or if they perceive you as trampling on that, it hurts more than anything. So people complain, and there's a process for evaluating whether this was really pastoral abuse or not. And in the material world, just like in corporations, people can be sued for sexual harassment or other harassment. Other harassment has to be really extreme. They're toxic boss kind of cases, toxic workplace environments. You know, the black firefighters who find a noose hanging in their locker and things like that. And people can be sued for that and have to spend a lot on lawyers and then pay a lot of damages, you know. So these are important things that devotees, we don't expect devotees to be cruel. And sometimes when a devotee is cruel to another devotee, it hurts all the more that, you know, you expected you joined the society of saintly people. And not everybody's always acting saintly because we're, you know, we're not fully pure beyond the modes of nature yet. Someone else? We didn't read the translation of the Udila Aruna song. Can you still get that up? We can have the microphone passed around and people can read the verses. And in the meantime, somebody must have a question. Karnapur, your wife is not here otherwise. read it from the book. I don't have it in the book. Huh? Well, yeah, I don't have a songbook in front of me. That's true. We used to have songbooks, and we used to sing all these bhajans all the time, and I'm afraid we don't sing them regularly enough, that we don't know all these different bhajans. Okay, here we go. Please, someone take the microphone and read the first verse when it comes up. Unless Pundarik has a question or a comment. If you have a question or a comment, the verse was, well, you could just comment on Bhagavad Gita verses 13 and 14, Adveshta Sarvabhutanam Vrita Maitra Karuna. So this is a song that Lord Chaitanya is going around in the early morning when the sun, when the red starts, before the sun even rises, the red is in the horizon. And he rises early and he goes around and he sings to people, or he's telling, preaches to people, to the ordinary people. Who has the mic? Someone start. We should have two mics, one for one side and one for the other side.
Okay. When the rising sun appeared in the east, when the rising sun appeared in the east, the jewel of the twice born Lord Gaura Sundar awakened, and taking his devotees with him, he went all over the countryside, towns and villages.
The mridangas called. He sounded tatai tatai, and the janja, large metal cartels that looked like small cymbals in that kirtan, played in time. Lord Gauranga's golden form slightly trembled in ecstatic love of Godhead, and his fet bells jingled.
Can I read it in Bengali?
No.
Okay. I don't know Bengali.
I don't mean to be cruel, but no.
Well, I'm going to report to that management committee. Okay, all the devotees chanted the names Mukunda, Madhava, Yadava, and Hari, their mouths being filled with the vibrations. They would announce to the still sleeping people, you spend your nights uselessly sleeping and your days decorating your bodies. All right.
After this, some ladies.
You have achieved such a rare human body, but you do not care for this gift. You remain not serving the darling of Yashoda and slowly fall through your last moments to death.
Okay, that side.
With every rising and setting of the sun, a day passes and is lost. Then why do you remain idle and not serve the Lord of the heart?
This temporary life is full of various miseries. Take shelter of the holy name as your only business.
To penetrate the darkness of ignorance and bless everyone's heart, the holy name has arisen like the shining sun.
Drink the pure nectar of the holy name of Krishna. There is nothing but the name to be had in the 14 worlds. It has filled the soul of Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
I have to, when a phone goes off during class in ISKCON Silicon Valley, Vaisheshika says, oh, now you have to be penalized. And the penalty is you have to donate one case of Srimad Bhagavatams. Or depending on a sliding scale, maybe one Krishna book or something like that. I have a persistent caller. All right, so it's 8:58. Hare Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai.